The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 18, text number 65, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 9th, 2012, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manmana bhava madbhakto, majaji mam namaskuru, mam evaishyasi satyante, patijane priyosime. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Always think of me. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. The most confidential part of knowledge is spoken of Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face, and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to the other forms of a Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Ditam Tam Sujivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Ditam Scha. So, what is the point of all of this? The point is you should always act for Krishna. We act for ourselves instead. That's our conditioned consciousness. I want to do what I like. But you know what? You can't ever be happy by doing that. As long as you act to do what you like, I want to do what I want to do, you see. That will never make you happy. Sometimes you'll be happy. Sometimes you won't be happy. It's a confused state of mind. Why? Because when we do that, we are trying to put ourselves in the center of the universe. You understand? We're trying to put ourselves in the position of God. And that's artificial. It doesn't work. Because we are not God. So instead of trying to put our to live our life doing, you know, what I want to do, we should live our life what is what I want to do, what Krishna wants me to do. As soon as we put ourselves in that consciousness, not what I want, but what Krishna wants, you see, then we become completely peaceful. Then it doesn't matter anymore. The external situation doesn't matter. It can be this, it can be that. It absolutely won't matter at all what's happening in the external world, you see. Absolutely won't matter. If your desire is, from now on, I just want to do what Krishna wants me to do. I'm completely detached from my own plans. I just want to do what Krishna wants me to do. I say, but wait a minute. How can I give up being attached to my plan? Well, why don't you just make your plan, make this your plan. I want to do what Krishna wants. Make that your plan. But my plan now is, I want to do whatever Krishna wants. That's it. I want to fully surrender to Krishna. That's my plan now. Why not just do it? I mean, why not? Krishna says we should do that in the next verse. He says, give up all your plans and just follow my plan. Sarvadharman purit yojja, you see. Give up all those other plans, you just do what I want you to do, you see. Why don't we just say, okay, Krishna, I said I want to be a devotee, so why am I, you know, messing around with the material energy, waltzing Matilda here in this material world, you see. Why am I messing around with all of this independence, which I know it's not even right, but still I do it. You see. Why not just give up the false independence, say, okay, Krishna, now I'm yours, do whatever you want to. And from now on, I'm simply your property. Prabhupada told us, and he wrote that nice arrival prayer when he came to the U.S. He said, he prayed to Krishna, now I'm simply a puppet in your hands. You make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. You see. So I can guarantee you, if we will do this, if he'll actually say, okay, Krishna, I'm the puppet and you're the puppeteer, you just pull my strings. If you just embrace that mood and, you know, always try to beat your mind when it gives you some other idea besides, oh, mind, that's no good. Don't think that way. My dear mind, don't give me that nonsense. My dear mind, you from now on, just say, well, okay, whatever Krishna wants, that's what I want. We'll train ourselves like that. It takes some time, I mean, because we've been, for millions of lifetimes, we've been trying to be this, what, God, you know? In different, trying to be, when we were a dog, we were trying to be God. When we were a cat, we were trying to be God. Human being, demigod, beggar in the street. We've tried to be God in so many situations. And it's been a miserable failure again and again and again. That's a fact. So now, why don't we just take hint from the Bhagavad Gita? I mean, this is the absolute truth. These are the words of God Himself. Bhagavad Gita is not a myth. It's not some fancy poetry by some Vedic sage. This is the words directly of God Himself. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha. You see, Supreme Personality of Godhead said, these are the exact teachings coming from God Himself, the origin of everything, Krishna. You see. Why don't we just put some faith in Krishna? You see, the trouble is, we could keep putting faith in our rascal minds. You see. That's the problem. We keep putting our faith in our rascal minds, and where have these rascal minds gotten us? From one material body to another. You know, your body changes. That's the gross body, but the subtle body, the mind, doesn't change. We have had the same nonsense subtle body since we entered this material world millions and billions of lifetimes ago. The same nonsense mind has been dragging us from body to body to body to body to body. And the attachment we have to that mind is very, very strong, you see. The body we give up at death, but the mind we hold on to, that subtle dirt, that subtle mala, you see, dirt, we hold on to that mala, the mala mind, the impure mind, we hold on to that mala mana, tenaciously hold on to it. You see, it's insane that we do it. I mean, why hold on to something, the source of your misery? But we do it. As we're leaving the body, at least we hold on, we can't hold on to the body, we hold on to the mind. We don't want to let go of the dirty mind, the mala mana. So Krishna consciousness means now you take the mala mana, mala mana, make it a mala mana. Give up the dirty mind, now you have clean mind. So how do you clean up your mind? You just have to say, okay mind, here's the new agenda. My mother used to say, when she would give us assignments in the household duties, she would say, orders from headquarters. Right? You vacuum the kitchen, you empty, you take out the garbage. You know, you vacuum the living room, you take out the garbage. She called it orders from headquarters. So this is orders from headquarters, you see. And okay, mine, orders from headquarters, you now surrender to Krishna. It's time for you to stop your little dance, a little artificial dance, I am God dance, mind, you see. Now, we surrender to Krishna. Poor Govindadas, he very nicely sings. You know that bhajan. Bhajahure mana shrinana nandana habhaya charanara vindure. My dear mind, from now on, I have one plan for you and one plan only for you. And that is surrender to Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Bhajahure mana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Sharanada Vindare. Now you have to surrender the fearless lotus feet of that boy Govinda. He says, surrender to a boy Govinda. The mind again, what? You see, the mind thinks, what is this? Surrender to some little boy who plays a flute? What is this? See, we're so polluted by the mundane philosophers. The mind, we've been so programmed, they surrender to a little kid that plays the flute? You know, you go, what is this? Have I lost my sanity or what? You see, we doubt. A little boy who wears a yellow dhoti and tracks the girls to the forest, I'm supposed to surrender to him. You see, he's the supreme source of all existence. Well, we have to put our faith in the great sages who have guided the Vedic civilization for thousands and thousands of years. We have to put our faith in these great sages. You see. All the great stalwart acharyas have accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the great stalwart acharyas. So, we always take the authorities. It's like the scientists say, well, the sun is 93 million miles from the earth. We say, okay, the scientists say, the sun is 93 million miles from the earth, so therefore the sun is 93 million miles from the earth. Our tendency is we can't figure out everything from ourselves, so we take the authorities. Somebody told me there's a country north of India called Nepal. I've never been there. How do I know it's real? Maybe it's just somebody, it's a fake, all the maps are fake, you see. But I have a disciple who lives there, you see. Sevananda, he's coming here next month to visit us. But, so, therefore, I know from Sevananda, I know because he lives in Nepal. So you may not have personally seen Krishna, you see. But if you know someone who's seen Krishna, and you know that Sevananda, I know, would not lie to me. He tells me he lives in Nepal. He sends emails. He writes me from Nepal. So I have faith, because I know he's an honest devotee. He wouldn't lie to me. There is a place in Nepal, and he lives there. So in the same way, we put our faith in Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada has seen Krishna. He told us. He said, "You cannot. When we offer the food to Krishna, we cannot. You cannot see how Krishna is taking that vishana, but I can see how Krishna is taking the vishana." Prabhupada told us he could see how Krishna is taking the vishana. So we take it from the authority of the great personalities, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, Narad Muni, Vyasadeva, Arjuna, you see, we take these great authorities. You say, well, how can I really be sure? Well, by following their pathway, the Acharya Marg, you will enter the spiritual world and you will directly see God. And you know absolutely for sure this way. When you directly see Krishna, then there'll be no more doubts. You see. By following this process, that day will come when you will see God face to face. That day will come when you will personally enter the abode of Sri Krishna. You will meet Radharani, you meet Nanda Maharaj, you meet Mother Yasoda. You see, they're not some fables, some Hindu fables. You see that they're real people. And their pastimes are indeed eternal pastimes, and you can be a part of their pastime. You'll experience it. You see. So therefore we advise you, stick to this pathway. You're going to have some really good times ahead if you do. Some really sweet nectarian times are waiting for you if you give up your independence and surrender fully to Krishna. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Thank you. In today's class, the lecture you gave today, you mentioned, if I have you right, that as we chant deeper, as we start to chant, Maya takes away our attractions, or Maya is not attracted to us?
The more you become pure in your chanting, the more Maya cannot penetrate your consciousness. See, when you're weak in Krishna consciousness, you're sitting duck for Maya. But you start getting a taste for the name, you start relishing the association of the devotee, you start relishing the Vedic wisdom, you start relishing, you know, the holy, the kirtan, the deities, the prasadam. The more you become attracted to these, Maya becomes powerless. She can't lure you away because all the things she uses to attract people are less attractive than what a devotee is experiencing. You see? If you don't have much of a taste for Krishna consciousness, then you're a sitting duck for Maya. So it's just a matter of the more you become pure in your chanting, you will get taste. And that taste far exceeds any allurement that Maya Devi can offer you. Even the post of Brahma. You can imagine being the chief demigod of a whole material world. How much power, how much prestige, how much sense pleasure you can have as Brahmanji. You see, even if Maya offered you the post of Brahma, you see, you actually have a taste for Nama, Krishna's name. Then you realize, what is this post of Brahma? It's simply illusion. Facade, nothing really there that's worth the time and energy.
So she starts to try harder. She'll start to work harder to attract you. As you lose your
work
desire.
Harder?
She's saying Maya Devi.
Huh?
Maya works harder to attract us.
She may, yeah. She, at a certain point, she'll say, okay, you passed the test, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Now I'll help you in your Krishna consciousness. Describe it. For the pure devotee, Maya becomes the maidservant to assist the devotee in his service to Krishna. So she's kind of like the bouncer. I don't know if they call it in Australia. In America, it's the bouncer. You go to a nightclub, they have a bouncer there to keep the riffraff up, you know. The rowdies and the drunks, you know, the bouncer doesn't let them in. So Maya is the bouncer for Golok, you see, for the spiritual world. She keeps the nonsense out. But if you pass all the tests and she welcomes you in, she escorts you in, you see. So Maya's actually our friend, but she has a duty to weed out all the nonsense, and she has to test you to see if you're really serious about Krishna consciousness. It's her duty that Krishna gives her. She gives us material allurements to see if we're really not. She doesn't know that she wants us to fall down. It's her duty that no nonsense can enter the spiritual world. So it's her duty to give us allurements to try to tempt us away from Krishna. Even though she's a pure devotee, it's her duty to try to lure us away from Krishna. She's testing us. You see. But here's the good news. Krishna is ultimately in control of everything. And he will never allow you to be put into a test which is more than what you can actually handle. You're never going to be overwhelmed. If you're sincere to be, you know, to be a devotee of Krishna, then you're really sincere, then you'll come out successful, guaranteed. You'll come out successful. These tests actually strengthen us in our Krishna consciousness. It's like even in a normal academic world, those tests that you have, those exams you take, strengthen your command of the subject matter. The exams help you to become stronger in that subject matter. So in the same way in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we put through different tests. Do we really want Krishna or we want something else? You see, that's many times we're tested. Do you really want Krishna or do you want something else besides Krishna? Those tests come quite often to us, you see. And you have to just say, okay, I only want Krishna. You have to just keep that in your mind, only Krishna and nothing but Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya said, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me in all conditions, he is simply my worshipable Lord. So if we have that fixity of mind, then we'll be in good shape. We'll be in good shape. Anything else? Yes, Nadmani.
Is it true that which I feel for spiritual master, I feel for Krishna?
Yes. Yeah, whatever love you have for Guru is the external manifestation of Krishna who is within your heart. Krishna within your heart is called Chaya Guru. And that same Chaya Guru within manifests externally in the form of the spiritual master. In our impure state, we cannot see Krishna, but we can see our spiritual master. You see? So, because the spiritual master is purely representing Krishna, he has the Shakti of Krishna. So, the more you love Guru, automatically, Guru Prema equals Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema equals Guru Prema. They are one and the same thing. The persons are different because the Guru is a manifestation of Krishna, the mercy manifestation of Krishna. Any love you feel for your Guru, automatically it translates into love for Krishna, automatically, immediately. It's non-different. So just try to love Guru, try to love Vaishnava. It's the same principle. The more you love the devotees, they are also Krishna's representatives. You see. Try to love the devotees. Not that I love Guru, but I hate everyone else. You see. The Gurudev is good, but Guru Mata is bad. You see. Not like that. You must love all the devotees. You see. So the more you can love Guru, the more you can love Vaishnavas, that is your Krishna consciousness. And Krishna sees I quote that verse again and again from the Adi Puranda. Ye me bhakta janar parthat. The one who is my devotee, is Sanaprita. Na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. But ye me bhakta tamama, te me bhakta. Ye me bhakta janar parthat. Na me bhaktas tate janaha. Mad bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas. Te me bhakta tamamata. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You want to be a devotee of Krishna? You must become the devotee of the devotee. If you're not a devotee of the devotee, then you're called a Kanishta Adhikari, a materialistic devotee. The only way you can come to the spiritual platform is to become a devotee of the devotees, and that includes the spiritual master, but not only the spiritual master. Krishna could have said, you know, only the one who becomes the disciple, the devotee of the guru is my devotee. No, he says, the devotee of my devotee. So not only the guru, but all the devotees. Sometimes in ISKCON, that's a mistake neophytes make. I have all respect for Gurudev and Guru, or Guru Maharaj, but others, I don't respect them. Prabhupada didn't like that mood. There was one just... And the two boys were arguing with Prabhupada. We'll do what you say. We don't want to do what the devotees say. We'll just do what you say, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I say you do what they say. But we don't like that, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, just go earn money and enjoy. He told them to get out of the movement. Their attitude was such a disturbance. He said, just go earn money and enjoy, he told them. Can you imagine? Because, oh, just go earn money and enjoy. And they followed his instruction. They left. They say, we'll do what you say, Prabhupada. We don't want to do what they say. Just what you say, Prabhupada. Well, I say you do what they say. No, we don't like that instruction, Prabhupada. You see? So we have to understand what Prabhupada wants. He wants us to serve the devotees. He wants us to serve Guru and Vaishnava. This is confirmed in the Sambha Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Anande Bolohadi Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Madjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship this holy Vrindavan Dham. You see? And in your mind, you always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. He didn't say just Guru, he said Guru, the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. That's very important. Any other question? Yeah.
When you said devotees of the devotees, so as we study, means there are three levels of devotees also. So here, when the word devotee is used, it only refers to means Uttamadhikari or all the levels of devotees, even the Kanishta.
We should love and respect all the devotees according to their position. Those who are our seniors, we bow down at their feet, we take instructions from them, we hear from them, we inquire from them, we serve them. Those who are equals, we make friendship with them, intimate friendships. And those who are our juniors, we're very kind to them, we're merciful to them. Anything else?
This verse, Manmana Bhav Madhvakto, does it also, I mean, as you said, that you have to always serve devotees. So does it mean that you have to, if you always think of devotees, it's equal to thinking of Krishna?
That's the same question he asked. No, it's different. Prabhupada said it's better to think of the devotees than to think of Krishna. That's what Prabhupada said. Actually, Prabhupada said that. It's better to think of the Pandavas than to think of Krishna. It's like you can say Krishna or you can say Nandanandana. Krishna likes the name Nandanandana better than the name Krishna. But not that we should concoct and chant new japa, you know. Hari Nandanandana, Hari Nandanandana, 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 Hari Hari. Don't make concoction. But Prabhupada actually said that Krishna likes these names related with his devotees better than he likes the name Krishna. He's more, when it's a name, you know, Jashoda Priya or Krishna or Shama Priya, you see. These names connected with his devotees, Krishna, that's That's what Krishna really... He's so happy to hear because his devotees are so dear to him. You address him in relation to his devotees, you see. He becomes so happy. Oh, you're calling me the darling son of Yashoda, my Yashoda Mata. The darling son of Yashoda Mata. Oh. Krishna's very pleased. So actually, it's not the same. Devotees are better. Prabhupada. But don't concoct some new system. You follow exactly what Prabhupada says in his book. Chant Hare Krishna mantra.
Sometimes, in some situations, krodha comes, anger comes to us, and we react in that way. But afterwards we realize that this all are the, everything is real, the planning of Krishna. Whatever happened, even in spiritual, this bhakti, in material world it's okay. We deal in different ways. In bhakti,
maybe can you help me understand what is going on?
In bhakti, when we get angry, afterwards we feel that it was the Krishna's planning. It was not some devotee's mistake or his outburst. Then we realize it a little later. Why not immediately that time? And we keep control of our anger.
Devi, can you help me understand?
Can you say that if there is a conflict between the devotees, the anger comes. And when later on we realize that this was Krishna's arrangement, so why don't we realize it at the right, at that time, so we don't get angry?
Sometimes devotees don't see, they're caught up in egotism. We have that problem, you see. Even though we know the philosophy, still we're gliding along on the platform of false egotism, you see. Even though we know better, you see, we neophyte devotees, you see, we're still struggling with these impulses of the modes of nature. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by the modes. Even Brahmaji, you see. Even Yamaraj, he's one of the great Mahajanas. He made a mistake, you know, that Manduka Muni, and he was a little boy. He was a little boy playing, he pierced an ant with a needle. So there's a type of punishment where they take you, the criminal, and they put him on a rod and they ram it through his, they ram a rod from his rectum all the way through to his skull, if you can imagine them, a way to be put to death. You know, being a firing squad is one thing, hanging, having a rod inserted through your anus and rammed all the way up through your skull. It's a form of being put to death. So, he was mistakenly associated with some thieves, and they're getting ready to do that to him, a sage. So, he was rather disturbed with Yamaraj, how you could allow this to happen. Yamaraj said, well, when you're a little kid, you know, you pricked an ant with a needle and the ant died, so this is your reaction. So Manduka Muni thought, this isn't right. I was just an innocent child and such a heavy reaction. So he cursed Yamaraj. But you have done the wrong, Yamaraj, and now you have to become a Shudra. She became a Shudra for 100 years. He had to leave his post as Yamaraj, become a Shudra. So if even Yamaraj, who's one of the 12, one of Krishna's GBCs, you see, if even Yamaraj can make a mistake, what's our position? Even one of the Mahajanas made a mistake. What is our position? Sometimes we say something wrong, we're carried away by anger. We say something we shouldn't have said that's very, very offensive. So we have to always remember what Prabhupada said, a gentleman thinks twice before speaking anything. And our Dina Bandi Prabhu, he told me one thing, if you ever get angry, just count to 10 before you say anything. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Don't speak. If you get angry, just don't say anything. You just count to 10. Or you could chant the Hare Krishna mantras. You know. We need to practice this because there's so many offenses that we commit amongst the devotees because we just, you know, we're all selfish in our neophyte consciousness. And, you know, and we're doing so many things and we get angry and we say offensive things and it hurts our relationships, it hurts devotees' feelings, it hurts our it hinders our happiness, it hinders our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we have to learn how to be more eager to hear than we are to speak. How many ears did God give you? Two. Right? I see you have two ears, Harikata. Thus, how many mouths do you have? You only have one mouth. So that means you should be twice as willing to hear as you are to speak. But our problem is, we have it backwards. We're twice as willing, we speak twice as much as we hear. That's the problem. That's our disease, you see. We think that God gave us two mouths and only one ear. But we haven't looked in the mirror very carefully. That's the problem. Next time you go to the mirror, analyze very carefully. How many mouths do I have and how many ears do I have, you see. So therefore, we have to be twice as willing to hear as we are to speak, but we keep getting it backwards. And that's why we have so many conflicts between devotees, so many hurt feelings, so many offenses are committed, because we're willing to just shoot off our mouths immediately. If you don't flatter my false ego, then I bark, I bite you. You see, that's the mentality we're getting over with. It's called ahankara. It's a mentality we're getting over with. We're learning how to give up that mentality. You see. It happens in between two friends. It happens between husband and wife, between parents and children, in all levels of society, even nation as nation. They go to war over nothing. Like that war between India and China many years ago, back in the 50s, I think it was. Over an insignificant, worthless piece of land, they're going to war. Prabhupada wrote about it in his Bhagavatam Purport back in the 50s. The war between India and China, you see. So that's the symptom of Kali Yuga, even a slight provocation. Fighting. You see. Like biting each other, like dogs. Yeah. We have to be careful. These things are very detrimental for our Krishna consciousness. They hurt. Some devotee may have given us so much love, and we repay it with spite. You see, it's very, very not very good. Some devotee gave us so much loving service, so sincerely has given us loving service, and then overwhelmed by the modes, we say something very offensive to them. We have to be very careful not to do such things. To be very, very conservative in our what we speak. Very, very conservative. Well, our time is up. 6:30. So, now what we'll do, the time is not up, now it's time for Guru Mata to answer questions. Because I'm going to do some puja, and now Guru Mata will take over the questions and answers.